Okay, let's go into the word this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your spirit within us. Thank you for that work of redemption. We do ask and receive that precise knowledge is being passed across to us this morning in the name of Jesus. As we teach the truth of God's word, there's accuracy and there's comprehension in this atmosphere in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because we know at the end of this meeting as believers, we're going to be edified and only Christ will be glorified. Glory to God. You know, so this, we've been dealing with that series called New Man. We've looked at the reality of God's word. Is that true? We look at the reality of God's word. How real is God's word? What do we call scriptures? Are scriptures for quoting? What is the essence of scriptures? We're able to examine that God's promise is that promise of revealing Christ to mankind. Yeah, so God is a promise keeper. How do we know God is a promise keeper? He made a promise before the foundation of the world, and that promise was executed when Christ came. So he kept to the promise hundreds of years afterwards, and we saw the reality of God's promise. So God is a promise keeper, not because your pastor told you you have a car this year and you got the car. Yeah, God is a promise keeper, not because you had a mansion or a pastor said you will buy your house this year and you bought a house. No. We don't know God as a promise keeper through material things. We don't know God as a promise keeper through material things because you know within yourself that it's not everything you ask of God that you've gotten. Is that true? Who is here that has asked God for everything he has gotten it? You know, but the truth is that she cannot say God is not a promise keeper because she didn't get a visa or she didn't get ticket. Hallelujah. You know, you don't need to believe in God to get a visa to leave the country. Is that true? You don't need to, even as you believe Christians that will be traveling abroad. That would even be a good way to even win muscles. Because we just say, if you want to travel abroad, convert. That's a convert. You don't have to be a Christian to travel, but you don't have to be a Christian to have a house. You don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to believe in God or Christ to have a mansion. You don't have to believe in God to have a good job. Yeah? So you don't get a job and say, oh, God kept his promise because you got the job. Yeah, you remain thankful in the fact that you got the job, but it's not because there's a tendency you know that got in the job. And you know, if you are sincere with yourself, you realize that you got the job because you were qualified for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You rarely see situations where people do not qualify for a job and they just get it. But do they happen? Do they happen? Yeah, miracles happen. Well, yeah, yeah. But is it limited to only believers? No. So that means an unbeliever too can apply for a job and also qualify for the job and he gets the job. Yeah. So how do we know God is a promise keeper? We have to know God's promises are kept. Bible says that his promises are yea and amen. Where? In Christ. You know, so you just say, your promises are yea and amen. And you are thinking about the car or the shoe you are wearing. You don't need to believe in God to have a shoe. No matter how expensive the shoe is, people, they buy them. Is that true? Yeah? So, you don't know God's promises by the house you are living in. You don't know. So, you don't look at someone and say, I see God's glory. You know, we have limited God's glory to be material things. I see the glory of God around you. Why? Because you are smelling nice. Eh? Aura of grace. Yeah, I stepped and I saw that there was something mystical about you. No, it's just that she dressed fine. No, think about it. You know, we rarely see something glorious about the madmen on the street. How are they dressed? Hallelujah. 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 So we know that a believer, you don't need to be a believer to have material things. So, God's promises, don't look for scriptures, don't look for Bible verses in the Bible to try and suit your situation. Yeah, Bible says that how did they say it? The former and the greater. The glory of the latter shall be greater than that of the former. And what you are thinking is your job. What happens if you left a job, they pay you 20,000 naira, they sack you, and the next job is 15,000? The next scripture, all things are working for my good. Because it's intentional. choreography. Never failing. All things. You will sing that song at the end of time. You know, we're going to look at what all things work together for you. All things that work together for you, you're not talking about your job or your house or your car. Think about it now. That means it will mean that sin, when you sin or when you lie, is still working together for your good. And God approves it. Because it's intentional. Hear yourself now. You know, so we know how to pick scriptures just to suit our situation. I shall not lack. Because God was made poor. And he shall say, he's made me rich, 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 poor. And since you'll be confessing it, when did you have the money? You know, so scriptures are for explanations of the reality in Christ. Look at the book of 2 Timothy chapter... Oh, you took me to Romans 6. Don't be very interesting. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, chapter 2. Let's do 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. Today we're going to be dealing with God's righteous man. Look at him and say, God's righteous man. God's righteous man. Timothy, you know, we explain this over and over. Paul is telling Timothy to study to show himself as approved of God. Romans 2, 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. Study to show thyself as approved of God, a workman, that is a toiler, who needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So Paul is telling Timothy as a minister of the gospel to labor. That word there, study, means to have an art of researchful reading. To labor, to labor, to labor. Labor to show that God has approved you. So that means you are laboring from a position of approval. Are we together? Are we together? You are in a position of approval with God. You are now laboring from that. You know, it's different from you are in a position and you are laboring towards God's approval. Is everyone with me? Is everyone with me? There's difference between staying in point A, where there's no approval of God, and laboring towards getting an approval of God. But Timothy being a believer, Paul could not tell him to labor so that God will approve him. No, it is labor to show that you are approved of God. He says, a workman, a toiler who needed not to be ashamed, so we are to divide scriptures rightfully. We are to divide scriptures rightfully. How do we know we are dividing scriptures rightfully? You know that word there, rightfully dividing, is a word that means carefully handling a concept or carefully handling a baby. So, for instance, you have a 3-year-old baby and you want to have a surgery on the neck. You know you have to be very careful. Is that true? Is that true? If you want to have a surgery on a baby's neck at 3 years old or maybe 7 months, you have to be extremely careful with your blades. Yeah? Why? So that you don't kill the baby. Yeah, so that you don't wrongfully tear the baby. Yeah, so a minister of the gospel should have an attitude of rightly dividing the word of truth so it doesn't tear the baby, which is the word of truth. Yeah, so you don't wrongly tear a vein you're not supposed to tear. Hallelujah. So when you read Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What you are trying to do there is to rightly divide. Hallelujah. When you now go to Genesis 1, 26, 27, and God said, let us make man in our own image. What you should be thinking about as the image of God will not be Adam or yourself. You know, when we were much younger, maybe Sunday school, tell you that anybody that says you are not beautiful, tell them you are in the image of God. I'm in God's image. Don't insult me. Oh. Yeah? What made you look like this is the gene in your daddy and mommy's body. Hallelujah. That's why we see people look like their parents. We see people have traits of their parents. Why? Because genes are transferable. So where do babies come from? The sperm of a man meeting with the egg of a woman and growing to become a baby. Where do babies come from? See, stop thinking of that thing. Like everyone has one estate full of babies. When you now pray and ask God, you now tap on, maybe God even has computer in his system. You now tap on row 3, column 15. Go to Sister Esther's house and her husband. No, 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 no. If it's like that, we don't need to carry the baby for 9 months to grow in the womb. Yeah? So, babies don't exist. Look at it though. Babies don't exist before they are conceived in the womb. Amen? Be careful. So, babies begin to exist the moment there is a fertilization. Think about it. The way animals give birth, is it the way human beings give birth? Yes, yes. A male and a female must meet to give birth to a child. So that means before a dog came, the dog was in heaven. The dog, God will not be tapping. Let's stop playing. Yeah? So, he's saying that look at the image of God. So, when you're looking at God said, let us look at our own image, you are thinking about what does this mean? Yeah? When you go to Genesis chapter 2, and it says that Adam fell into a deep sleep. And don't be thinking Dr. 90210. It's that same mindset that makes you think God has a book in heaven, book of life. Is your name in the book of life? Eh? So God will now be waiting for a day they name you. So the day they want to give birth to you, God will be waiting. The angel Gabriel will be waiting. Let's say the name the father will call her on the seventh day. Let's see. They now call you Oluwa Sesan, Oluwa Sesan, Oluwa, Abi, let's say, Fayemi. They call you Fayemi. You now grow up, you don't now like the name Fayemi. You know, some of us, we changed our names when we go to university. They are here. Your name is Oluwa Pelumi. You change it to Christy. Your name is Oluwa Gbotemi. Your name is Oluwa Gbotemi. You change it to AY Sachs. You know, you always change our name, Tush name. So please, which name would, you know, it will mean that when you get to heaven, when you're in that queue, when God is calling your name and ticking you, do you know they can call your name and you don't know it's your former name, they still have in the book. Because God did not do updates. They will now, you have to carry Abidami. You have to now swear Abidami. Angel will now say, who's the last got him? So then they. You will not answer. You lose that, is that? You now say, Angel will now say, going. You don't want to hear God. You now remember, Abidami, you got to submit your documents. Sir, this is me. I made heaven. It's me. Yeah? Or the same thing with trumpet. Yeah, so when you are reading scriptures, when you are seeing trumpets, the moment you see trumpet as trumpet, you are wrongly dividing. The moment you see Book of Life as a book that God is opening with tippets and Bible beside, and eraser just in case, you are wrongly dividing scriptures. You are to have an attitude of study, labor. Don't be, you see, that is why we're easily tossed around by false doctrines. Look at the next chapter, chapter 3, verse 15. God's righteous man. Who is God's righteous man? Look at 3 verse 15. And that from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able, that means the holy scriptures have an ability to do what? Make thee wise unto what? What is the word there unto? It means concerning or pertaining. What's the word there? Wise. Wisdom there is the word that means skillful. So scriptures are to make you skillful concerning salvation. So when you read scriptures, be thinking of salvation. Think of scriptures in reference to salvation. What does scripture say? What does scripture say? What does it say? Yeah? We don't personalize scriptures without properly contextually explaining. Hallelujah. That means the scriptures have only one meaning. Is that true? That's why, you see, we're in this state of confusion in the body of Christ right now because we have so many people that have so many interpretations to so many verses. You can pick one verse and ask 50 preachers to explain it. And they will explain something different. So you that you are an audience, who do you know is correct? Abi, can 50 of them be correct? It's not possible now. Can two people explain the law of thermodynamics in two different ways? Can two people explicitly explain law of thermodynamics and you say two of them are correct? What I mean is that you come and give your own definition of thermodynamics. You come and give your own definition of thermodynamics and we say both of you are correct. I'm not saying explain the same thing but in different words. Okay. So Ohm's law states that the potential difference across each end of a terminal is directly proportional to the resistance across the distance, right? That is simply V is equal to IR, right? V is equal to IR. So if they ask you what is Ohm's law and you say, you write an exam, you now ask what is Ohm's law and now say V is equal to I square PR. And she now says, that's my revelation. She now starts fighting it. Teacher, that's my concept. The Holy Spirit tapped me in the night to explain it. So, you will get the right score and you will get your own score. The score you deserve. Is that true? So, a law has one meaning and you have to explain it around that meaning. A law cannot have three different meanings and we say three of you are correct. It's not possible. That's the same thing with scriptures. Scriptures have one meaning. We are to labor to understand and discover what that meaning is. Look at verse 16. He now says that all scriptures is given by inspiration of God and it is profitable for doctrine. It is advantageous. The word there profitable is the word advantageous. The word there doctrine is the word that means teaching. It is advantageous for teaching. In teaching, that means when scriptures are properly used for this advantage, which is for teaching, you find what? Reproof. What is reproof there? Reproof there is what that means assurance. Yeah? The word there assurance is the word that means evidence. You find evidence from the teaching of the scriptures. From this, you have correction. Yeah? So, I must not come to tell you that there's a practice that is wrong and not correct you from scriptures. Hallelujah. For instance, I cannot come to tell you now, for instance, that we're not asked to give tithe and just say it from my head. Where must I teach you from? scriptures. So I must properly explain scriptures to show you what the scripture says about tithing, for instance. Yeah? Next month is going to be an interesting month. And it will be a very, very interesting month. Very, very interesting month. You know? So I will not explain to you water baptism without using what? Scriptures. I need to explain baptism. I can't just come and say, no, the Holy Spirit tapped me in the night and say, I said, people that do water baptism, all of them go to a fire. No, 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 no. It is, let's see what scripture says about water baptism. What is water baptism? From scriptures. Nothing from your head. All from scriptures. Scriptures are advantageous for doctrine, for teaching. It is in teaching you find assurance. It is in assurance you find correction. That word there, correction, means to rectify or to straighten up a thought pattern. Yeah, so if you are wrong, if you missed it at a point where, for instance, before you enter church, you remove your shoe, we look at scriptures to correct that act. Then, in summary, he now says for instruction in what? In righteousness. You know, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, in Luke 24, what did he teach from? He taught from where? Luke 24, verse 25. Go there. Luke 24, verse 25. He says, 24 says that, and he met some of them from the sepulchre, and you know which, and they found it as the woman had said. That means the tomb where Jesus was buried was empty. They now saw Jesus and were trying to explain Jesus to Jesus. What did he say? Look at this. What did he say in verse 25? They said that, and he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. So did Jesus call people fools? Why do you think he called them fools? Because they wrongly interpreted scriptures. Hallelujah. Remember, all they had access to was scriptures. What do scriptures mean? Genesis to what? Malachi. Yeah? So scriptures at this time was Genesis to Malachi. Scriptures at your time, at my time, is Genesis to what? Revelations. Yeah? So scriptures, they read scriptures but interpreted it wrongly. That's why you will see Jesus. What Jesus wants to teach, he will say something. The prophet said, Moses said, but I say. What does that mean? He's the full explanation of scriptures. He is the final authority over scriptures. Christ explains scriptures. If today Christ taught in that 40 days teaching without using scriptures, we have every right not to believe Christ. Hallelujah. If Christ resurrected and he didn't open scriptures to explain to them what the prophet had written, you and I have every right to unbelieve the Bible. Why did Christ do what he did? It was to show that hundreds and thousands of years before he came, the prophecy kept coming out. It kept coming out. God kept to that promise from time, and he fulfilled it when Christ came. Hallelujah. So he says, oh fools, why are you fools? Because you are slow of heart. So we can superimpose 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 in this verse. He said unto them, oh fools, why are you wrongly dividing what the prophet has spoken? Because it was, remember, Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 shows that after Jesus taught for 40 days, they asked him a question about politics. Is that true? Why will you again restore the kingdom back to Israel? Yeah, remember I said something. At that time, it wasn't a Jewish man that was in power. The Roman emperor guys were in power. So they were asking, when will we return the kingdom? So it's like saying Yoruba land, I want to have a king. But our king in Yoruba land is Hausa. So Jesus finished teaching about himself. The Bible says teaching pattern in the kingdom of God. And the first question the Yoruba man now asked him is, when will we now return our kingdom back to the Yoruba king people? Does it make sense? Yeah? So after teaching for 40 days, it means that Jesus did not touch politics. But they read scriptures and saw politics. You know, ever seen dramatic people that teach about Trump from Nehemiah and Jeremiah? Yeah? They teach, they try to show you how the calculation of the temple is equal to the calculation of White House, equal to the next president, you know? No. Amen? Scriptures are to make you wise concerning Christ. Jesus taught solely from scriptures for 40 days. So it simply means that every reality you have or you are made to know you have, you understand that reality from where? Are we all together? So how do you know you are saved? How do you know you are righteous? How do you know you are God's rich man? How do you know you are God's rich man? How do you know you are saved? How do you know there's nothing you can do to undo what Christ has done? Same scriptures. You know, that is why the things that the prophets wrote and Moses in the Old Testament, they were simply explained in New Testament books. So any confusion you have in the Old Testament, yeah? Anything that looks like a difference in God's nature as being good, how do you understand and explain that? Go to New Testament books and read it. So Moses will accurately say, God said you will smite people. But no, be careful, be careful, be careful. So how do we justify that God does not smite people? We read through the Bible and see the explanation in the New Testament books. Hallelujah. You know, the reason why a lot of people are always angry when we say God can kill is because they want to use God to kill others. You know, we're saying God is good, God is good, God is good. But yet, we're always saying God is good to us. But when we want God to show some other people his other side, we now need to invoke. You know what I mean to invoke? Invoke. You call the power of the Holy Ghost, the fire of the Holy Ghost. Oh yeah, you know, better than you. Yeah? But when it's about you, you forgot that if God is our Father, look at it. Okay, so look at it. Are we both Christians? We both got saved. We both go to church together, but we work in the same company. You are my boss. I'm working for you, and I come to a church, and the pastor is telling me that I shall be promoted by force. And in our office, there's only one slot for your position, director. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say God should uproot anybody that is there to promote me by force. You see that? What now happens if you now decide to pray? You say, "Oh, will God now answer?" And our own prayer will be in our own church. They are all praying. Any man that doesn't want to see my shining, I want to see my rising. Oh Lord, arise in your infinite anger, not mercy this time around. Infinite anger and consume. So can you see two Christians are fighting against themselves with the same Father? We are fighting against ourselves with the same Father. So who do you want God to answer? Eh? The most righteous. Yeah? The most righteous. Glory to God. You see that? So we use the same God to fight against ourselves. But we don't want God to answer our own prayer, but I want God to answer my own prayer. Why? Because I'm the Father's son. I'm the bosom of the Father. He the son sets free is free indeed. But I choose not to see that he is free and free indeed. You see that? So we have a one-sided perspective of God. You see? So that's why people are always angry. Pastor, how can you say God does not kill? Go and sit down with all your theory and your nonsense. That's not even all. The moment you now say God has never killed anybody, Pastor, you want to slap you? Why? Because you are touching their sacred cows. Yeah, what is sacred cows? That ideology or mindset you've held in high esteem for the longest period of time, for a long period of time. Pastor, don't touch my How can you say I should not say God should kill people? Do you know what you are even saying? Do you know how they are tormenting me? But you forgot that the same way you are in a position in an office and you are an obstruction to somebody else's promotion, is the same way somebody else is an obstruction to your promotion. When all of you are all Christians, now pray to God, who will God now answer? Is it that use the blood word? That's why you see, a lot of times, the God we are calling is a God of Shango. Our God is not a God of fire or thunder. He cannot be. He cannot be a good, caring Father and now destroy. The Bible says in John 10:10 that the thief cometh to kill, to steal, and to destroy, but I have come to give you life and life abundantly. So anytime you see God killed or stole or destroyed anybody's property, that means God was a thief in that situation. Is God a thief? So if God is a thief, it simply means that we can as well also be thieves. That's why I always say something. A man cannot live above his understanding of his God. You know. So how do you know you are righteous and you are righteous still? You know what it means to be righteous still? It means that you are righteous forever. Yeah, it means that you're righteous forever. Look at Romans. Look at what Paul wrote in Romans. You know, Paul did a lot of defense in the book of Romans to explain and defend eternal salvation. Look at Romans 10, Romans 10, 8. Romans 10, 8, verse. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 to 10. It says that, but what saith it, the word is near thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Look at verse 9. That if thou shalt, look at it, let's shoot verse 9 together. 1, 2, 3, go. So, if thou shalt confess with your mouth, yeah, and believe in your heart. You know, the word there, confess, means is the word that means homologio. Is the word that means saying the same thing or having the same disposition with what has been said already. Hallelujah. So the word there, we can say, if thou shalt agree with your mouth. So when do you agree? Do you agree with your mouth or with your heart? Yeah? You know, you can disagree with someone in your heart, but agree in words. So where do you agree? in your heart. You know, this scripture makes you look as if there are two things you must do to be saved. One is to believe, one is to confess. No. What now happens to a man that is dumb? It means that he can only believe in the heart that God raised him from the dead. And that means he will not be saved because it says two things. Thou shalt confess and believe. Look at verse 10. Makes it more complex, or makes it look more complex. For with the heart, look at it together. Let's show it together. 1, 2, 3, go. Does it not seem like he's talking about two different things? That means your mouth makes you, with your heart you believe unto righteousness. But if you don't add your mouth to confess, you have not made it unto salvation. That means you can be righteous and not saved. Does it make any sense? It is once the truth of God's word is taught that Christ is alive forever, and you believe in your heart, you are saved. Being saved is not coming to the altar front for the U-turn. Hallelujah. Being saved is not about coming to the front and say, I Joshua Yusuf, I make a U-turn. Yeah. So salvation is not about coming to the front for altar call. In as much as altar call is good, altar call is just so that they can have your record or your respo or your record and just have a system or a database to know how many people are being saved every service. You don't get saved when you come out. So you say, see how confusing it is. Where do you believe when you hear the truth, right? That means if the word of truth is taught here and you believe on your seat, when did you believe? When did you believe on your seat? If the pastor now says you should come out for altar call, and he's now saying, say after me, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Are you still a sinner? Why? Because you believed on your seat. What changed your nature? Believing on your seat. So when you come out and say, I'm a sinner, Lord, I'm a sinner, have mercy on me and wash my sins clean. No, you've received washing of sins from your seat. So if you now come out now, you're facing the pastor, and now says, pastor now says, today I make a U-turn. If you are coming from sin like this, I am making a U-turn. Please, why are you going back to? Why are you going back to? I'm going back to sin. So that U-turn we always do, we just like driving. Yeah, a man believes when the truth of God's word is taught, and he hears it and he believes in his heart. So the most important is that he believes. In as much as it is good to say you confess, beautiful, but the moment you say it is only by confessing and believing, you have excluded a dumb man from being a Christian. Is that true? Because how will he now say he believes when he's... Are we together? You know, so he says that when you believe unto righteousness, look at it. You believe unto righteousness. It means that when you believe, something is imputed unto you. What is that? Righteousness. What is righteousness? Write this down in your notes. Righteousness is having a right stand with God. Standing right with or before God. Righteousness means to stand right with God or before God. To be blameless or to be without fault. See that Romans 10. Go back to verse 8. Righteousness means to be blameless before God, to stand right with God, or to stand right before God. Romans 10, 8. It says, but what says that the word is near thee in their mouth and in their hearts, that the word of faith which we preach. Look at verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and shalt believe in thy heart, that he raised God from there, thou shalt be saved. So how do you believe? You believe by having faith in the word of faith that was being preached. Remember, verse 8 says that the word of faith is preached. The word of faith is near thee and is being preached. So when you believe that word of faith, what happens? You have righteousness. You are saved by faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, he didn't say that if you believe in your ways, if you believe in your... See what we say to this verse. Believe in your heart and be saved. But for us to know you are truly saved, stop doing what you used to do before. Yeah? So, we teach trying to be legalistic. You know what it means to be legalistic? Trying to be up and proper. Trying to just do things, you know. I'm not lying today. I'm not going to steal today. Yeah? I'm not going to do all these things today. Yeah? And they now say that, stop doing those things before you are saved. How many of us woke up this morning? How many of us woke up this morning and the first thing you did this morning was to go and take your towel to towel your body before you went to go and bath? Let me see them. I hear this morning. You woke up this morning and you just went to go and pick your towel. Maybe the person you are sleeping with, maybe your sister or your brother, and say, ah, sister, Esther, what are you doing? I'm just toiling my body before I go and bath. How does it sound? What was Sister Esther say? Or what did the other person say? Is everything all right? Think about it. Why should you wake up in the morning and go and pick towel and be towel your body? What washes you clean when you wake up in the morning? Water. Is that not true? So you, before you go to the water to have your bath, you first of all towel your body. How much energy will it cost you to towel your body before you be clean compared to just putting yourself under the shower? Which one is more stressful? Which one is easier? Wake up and go under the shower and get showered, or you wake up one morning and start to wake. Which one is easier? In order to be clean. The shower, right? Yeah? So that means the one that is towing your body is more stressful. You see that? Going to Christ is the bath a man has to become a new man. Once you go to Christ, the way you are, that's why it says, come as you are. The way you are, you go into the shower and the water washes you. Water is what? The Spirit. Is that true? Remember previous teachings? The water of God is the Spirit of God. So that water is the water, that Spirit that washes you clean. The moment you are washed clean, you are now expected to go to your bathroom to go and towel your body. Yeah? Remember? When you now go into your bedroom, sorry, towel your body, is it going to be stressful to make your body clean? No. Why? Because you've done the proper thing to be what? Cleansed. You know? So we say that God's word. Look now. Faith in Christ is all that a man needs to be saved. Look at Romans 8. Look at Romans 8. Remember, Romans 8, 28. So, what does Romans 8, 28 say? 1, 2, 3, go. Yeah, so this is the verse we pick. All things are working for my good. Yeah, is that true? Is that true? Is intentional, never failing. What are the all things that are working together for your good? Poverty. Okay. That means if you say all things that work together for your good, that means poverty together should work together for your... you don't want to say it?
Good.
That means when you are poor, it's part of God's redemptive plan for you. You see, people are very confusing. They tell you on the first Sunday and tell you that, oh, any believer that believes in God, such an insult. How can you say every believer that believes in the gospel and is poor doesn't understand his right in Christ? You are privileged to have access to money. You are insulting other people that don't have access to money. I know people that have been Christians for 50 years and they don't have 2,000 naira in their account. It's an insult to them to tell them they are not operating in the dimension. What nonsense dimension is dimensionless? What nonsense dimensionless dimension are you talking about? Okay, yeah. So now you look at it. You see, you see, when you begin to think about all those things, and it makes you look as if they will always find a trouble with you. How can you tell me that any man that is in Christ must be rich? Can't you see the poverty rate in Nigeria? The same people that tell you that you must be rich, any believer that is not rich doesn't understand his right in Christ. Any believer that is not rich doesn't know who he is in Christ. The next one is now going to tell you all things that work together for your good. Is that not confusing? Why am I encouraging you that there is a riches in you? And I'll still tell you that all things that work together for good. That means your poverty too is working together for your good. You can be in Christ and eat Gary every day of your life. And the day you add granite, you feel like it's Christmas Day. You are so poor that poor people look at you and call you are poor. Look at it. A believer can be like that. Let's stop lying to people. All of us should not be here today now. Eh? Say, if all of you had 1 billion, would you be in this country? You go and buy houses now in the overseas. You go for masters. You go for PhD. Go for 2 second PhD.
Yeah, you say you don't like school like that.
Eh? You do your first PhD in international law, second one business law, the family law, the land law. Now after spending 50 years. Then anytime they call you, anytime they write your name, they just say PhD cube. PhD cube, MSc square. Yeah? No, coming to Christ doesn't exempt you from poverty. No, the only poverty that coming to Christ exempts you for as a righteous man is the poverty of spiritual death. You can have eternal life and be poor. See, I'm saying it with passion. I'm not praying for you to be poor. But you don't just wake up every morning and say, all things are mine. Party will heap upon you like coal. God's righteous man, God's righteousness that he presented upon redemption does not include material things. It doesn't include your results. No. No, say, you know, I give you an example. Someone in the last law school I just finished, she messaged me and told me that a pastor called them to come and sow seed, that they should write down, it's people of you in law school, don't fall for that nonsense. Go and read your book. Go and read your book, you will fail. Woefully. God forbid. But if you don't read, look at it. She told me that the pastor came and said, come and sow a seed, and in the envelope, write the score you want to have in all your grades. All your grades in all the courses you want to have. Write in an envelope, put in an envelope, and put money. Your results are not part of what Christ died for. See, don't say, Christ died, Christ made me righteous, so I cannot fail. No, I've seen righteous men fail. I've seen pastors fail. In numerous numbers. Yeah. If you fail, the Holy Spirit will comfort you. That's why I say he's a comforter. Yeah. Allos Paracletos. Hallelujah. The moment you see why I'm always passionate about this? Because if you understand this as early as this in your life, you will not be deceived and be going into depression. They told you you'll get 18 in your exam. Eh? You got 20. Why are you fighting God? When did you hear God's voice? Why are you fighting God? God is not good. God, I don't like the way God is treating me like this. God is treating me like this. God is treating me like this. I'm not going to church again. When did you hear God's voice, please? Can you show me the text message God sent to you and say you will get 80? Who promised you 80 and did not say you should read? Is the pastor in front of you? Don't say, you know, we grew up with this mindset. When you write test over 20, when you get 18, when they say, what did you got? I got 18. When you got 6 over 20, they gave me 6. Oh, you all did it. When you get half of the, less than half of the half. Don't mind that lecturer. I don't know why she don't like you. I know she should always loop me for class. You did not read enough. No. You didn't read enough. We know that they are wicked lecturers. But if you read your book, you work. You see, there is nothing like you will be rich materially because you are righteous. See, you see the notes we always say, 100-fold reward. Now, what is 100-fold reward? 100-fold reward means you get 100% of what you sowed. It simply means that if a man sows a seed of $1,000 and he gets 100-fold return, if you give $1,000, what is 100 full of that? 100, 1,000 times 100, 0, 0. Put the 0 before this one. That is 100, $100,000. So $100,000. So that means if you sow $100,000 and you want to get 100 fold, that means upon one occasion, remember that teaching? Upon one occasion, you can become richer than Bill Gates. Upon one occasion, one seed. Just like that. Why are we lying to ourselves? You know, it's not fair. Look at it. It says that we know all things work together for our good to them that love God. Don't think of your job. Don't think of your house. Don't think of your results. Don't. Your mates are in the library reading, you are blocking. Your mates are in the library reading, you are eating as soon. The result now comes out. Yes, yeah. The result now comes out. You're saying, look at it. No, don't say because God wants to show that I can still be successful without results. Life is not by results. No, you failed. You know, some people are like that mindset. They go to church, they don't go to class. They are going to fellowship. Fellowship money, fellowship. They miss their time. Say, God is in charge. All things work together for good. I'm doing his work. If I do his work, he will do my work. No, they go pass yourself. Why are you laughing? If
I know that God is always doing, God will write myself, why don't I just go out? When my parents are dropping me in university, mommy, don't drop me in my hostel, drop me in the church.
Go there, roll your bus. Where are you going to? I'm going to serve the Lord.
You see, sometimes, hallelujah. Yeah. So a man that is righteous is a man that is righteous still in Christ. What are the all things that work together for good for that man? When you read in context, you understand simply. Remember the explanation we did last week? I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Yeah? Can you do all things? No, you can't. You are too small to do all things. Hallelujah. Even from this first level, you can't jump down. Talk more of it, take you to a plane and just allow you to let loose. What are the all things? You read in context. What is the next verse saying? Look at verse 29. For whom he did foreknow. When you say, can you start this level with four? Eh? I just look up and I say, because. can you start this level with because? Because they mean with four. So when it says four, it means that you can't start this verse in verse 29. You have to read the previous verse. So look at it. For whom he did foreknow, he also did what? Predestinated. To be conformed to the image of the Son. Yeah, who is the Son, Christ? That he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Who is the firstborn amongst many brethren? Christ is the firstborn among many brethren. But God has predestinated and had the foreknowledge that you should be conformed to that image of the firstborn amongst many brethren. Look at verse 30. Moreover, whom he did... Can you see? What was the first thing he said? Foreknowledge. After foreknowledge, what was the next thing he said? Predestinated, yeah? Now, moreover, whom he did predestinate. Now, after predestination, what's the next thing? He had what? So, foreknowledge, predestinated, he had called. After he called, what did he do? He justified. So, foreknowledge, predestinated, called, justified. After justified, what did he do? He glorified. Are these not five things? Think about it. Is it not the five things that work together for your good? Look at the next verse now. Look at verse 31. What shall we then say? If God be for us, who can be against us? Look at verse 32. He that spared not all, spared not his son. Now, what are the all things we've been writing about from verse 28? Foreknowledge. Is that true? Predestination. Called. Yeah. Justified and glorified. Is that true? Yeah. So when he now says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not freely give us all things? Can he say give us everything on earth? What would the all things be? The five things he had mentioned in the previous verses. Foreknowledge, predestination, called, justified, and glorified. So a good way to write that verse would be that, how shall he not with him also freely give us all these things? What are these things? Predestination to be conformed to the image of the Son, which is the firstborn amongst many brethren. So what are the all things that work together for your good? All these things. Predestination. Isn't that for your good? Hallelujah. Eh? That you are justified, it's not for your good. Look at it. Okay, I think stop 32. You know, I explained I can do all things. So he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also, that means in his sparing up of his son and delivering his son for us all these things are freely given to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you don't wake up in the morning and there's no light and you say all things work together for good. God wants me to wear a rough clothes today because, no, let's stop being dramatic. Is that true? He says anything, he says, now when he says all things, freely giving us all things, not freely giving you everything in life. It is what? That right standing with God. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a righteous man. Look at Romans 8, look at verse 33. Look at verse 33. Romans 8, 33. He says, Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Look at the next verse. Who is it that condemned? It is Christ that died. He rather that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who make an intercession for us? Remember, what is intercession for us? The fact that is in our life. That is the intercession for us. God is not kneeling down and praying to God. God, please. Don't allow your thunder to strike. No, no, no. The intercession is in the fact that he is living. Hallelujah. Look at Romans 3:10. Romans 3 verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Look at verse 11. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. Look at verse 19.
No, so now we know that what things soever the Lord saith, he saith to them that are under what? Now, let's read verse 19 together. 1, 2, 3, go. What does that mean? It simply means that the world is guilty before God without having that righteousness nature in the man. Look at the next verse, verse 20. In you. Look at verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. What does that mean? What does that simply mean? What does by the deeds of the law, no one shall be justified in his sight? What does that mean? No matter how much you keep the law, no one can be justified before God. You know the laws, they are over about 610. No matter how much you try to keep them, you can never be. That's why the Bible says our righteousness is as a filthy rag before God. Your self-righteousness is as a filthy rag before God. Think about it this way. John 3:16. Do you know that verse? What does John 3:16 say? Let's say it together. 1, 2, 3, go. That means whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So it simply means that those that don't believe in him shall what? Shall perish, right? If you check John 3, check up 36, it says that we have been redeemed from the wrath of God. We've been redeemed from that wrath. Yeah? So, a man, imagine this is a man and he's a sinner. What is his end destination? Eh? A man that's a sinner that has not believed the gospel, where is his end destination? Perish. So, is that an assurance? A man that is a sinner that does not believe the gospel, does he have an assurance of where he's going to? Does he have an assurance of where he's going to? Now, think about it. A man, why do we say a man that believes needs to try and work to make heaven? It simply means that Jesus cannot give an assurance as much as the devil. No, a sinner that doesn't believe, where is he going to? Is that true? Is that true? But as a Christian, when you are saved, you need to walk before God's assurance is assurance. No, now. No, now. He says that by the deeds of the law, no man be justified in his sight. No man can be saved, can be justified in his sight or in God's sight by doing the works of the law. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. You see that? By the law is the knowledge of sin. Look at the next verse. But now, the what? Righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Say the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Being witnessed by the law and prophet, what does that mean? The law and the prophets, they were pointing towards the righteousness of God. The law and the prophets were pointing toward that God's righteousness being made manifest. Look at verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is what? Righteousness of God is what? Unto who? Now look at it. Righteousness of God is by faith of Jesus Christ unto who? All and upon all them that what? For there is no. So once a man believes, he has what? Received by faith the righteousness of God. Yeah? The righteousness of God is faith, or righteousness of God is by faith unto the believer. The believer gets righteous by faith. Look at verse 23. Look at it. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 24. Being justified freely. How are we justified? How are we justified? Freely by what? By what? Through what? So, you are justified by faith in what? The redemption that is in Christ. So when you have faith in that redemptive work that is in Christ, you are what? Justified what? Freely. Look at verse 25. Whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sin that are past through the forbearance of God. Verse 26. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of them which what? Believe. So what now? When you believe, are you just? Are you just? Who made you just? Who is your justifier? Who made you just? Who is your justifier? Christ made you just, and he's the justifier. He's the justifier that made you just. How did you become just? By believing.
by believing. Look at, see, righteousness is solely by faith and faith alone in Christ. A man is righteous only by having faith, that is, believing the redemptive work that Christ offered to us. Look at, see the book of Genesis 15, verse 6. Who is the he that believed? Look at verse 5. Who is the he here? Look at verse 4. Go back to verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to who? Came to who? So who is the person in context we are reading about? Abraham, right? The word of the Lord came to Abraham saying, "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and exceeding great reward." Next verse. And Abraham said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" Look at verse 6. Okay, look at verse 3. And Abraham said, "Behold, to me thou hast given me no seed, and lo, no one born in my house is my heir." Look at verse 7, verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "This shall not be thy heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thy heir." Look at verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, now look at it though. Who brought him forth abroad? Yeah, this is a conversation between Abraham and God, right? And he said, "Look now towards heaven and tell the stars, if thou art be able to number them." And he said unto them, "So shall thy seed be." We grew up learning that God said, "Abraham, leave your tent. Come out. You see, look up. Abraham will now say, "Yes, Lord, I see." God will now say, "Can you count the stars?" Abraham will now say, "No, I can't count the stars. What do you mean, Lord?" The Lord will now say to him, "So shall your seed be." Abraham will now say, "Do you mean I will have so many children?" Look at what he now says in verse 6. Abraham believed. What did Abraham believe? "So shall your seed be." Abraham believed and he counted it to him as what? So when you believe, you are accounted what? Righteousness. Accounted righteousness, yeah, which is you are declared righteous. Look at how, remember, the New Testament books explain the Old Testament books. So how many stars did Moses count? Abraham count? No. God knows that Abraham cannot count the stars. God will not tell Abraham to come out and be counting stars. And Abraham will start doing 1, 2, 3, 4. And said, "I will not say, my honey." They said, "Don't disturb me, I'm counting for God." No. Don't be thinking of stars. Look at Romans. Romans explains it. Romans chapter 4. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 1. Romans 4 verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining the flesh had found? Look at it though. What shall we say that Abraham found? Look at verse 2. For if Abraham were justified by works, he had wherefore to glory, but not before God. That means if Abraham was justified by the things he did, he would not have glory in front of God, but he might feel like a boss. I've not thought about it. The New Testament books never write about the bad things that those men of old did. Why? Because in Christ, when sin righteousness, your sins are not taken record of. Did Abraham lie? Abraham lied. Did he kill? He did. Abraham that had 318 trained men, they killed. Abraham defeated 4 kingdoms. That's why we are covetous as Abraham blesses our mind. Abraham, you know what it means to kill people? You kill people and take their possession and you became rich. Is that the riches you want? No, the riches you should look for in Abraham is that riches of Christ. Abraham, now the Bible says that Abraham believed what? God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Look at how Paul explains it. For if Abraham was justified, look at verse 4, verse 3. For what say the scripture? Abraham believed God and was counted. Where did you read this from? So, it's Genesis 15, 6 says that, and Abraham believed God and was counted to him as righteousness. Paul is now explaining what that means. Are we together? Look at next verse. Verse 4. Now to him that walketh is a reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. That means if you walk, what you expect is what? They owe you. They need to pay you your money. Look at verse 5. But to him that walketh not, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly. Was Abraham ungodly? Yes, he was. Remember, chapter 13 was when the Bible says he was written casual. That's when he went to war. 13, 14. Chapter 14 talks about when Abraham met Melchizedek and gave him a tenth of all, yeah? Tithe, and Melchizedek ministered to him in reference to forgiveness of sins. We've done that teaching before. So when he says Melchizedek ministered to Abraham, bringing forth bread and wine, he was preaching and teaching forgiveness of sin that Christ's flesh and blood will bring. Hallelujah. Yeah, we've done that before. Look at verse 5. He now says, verse 6. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. Who is that man? I am that man. God imputed righteousness unto me without my works. God sees me and says, because you believe in that work, you are righteous forever. You are righteous still. God did not say, before I say you are righteous, stop lying, stop stealing. No. I become righteous by believing alone in that work. Now, because I believe, my lifestyle changes because of that belief system. Look at verse 7. Saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Verse 8. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord will not impute sin. Look at verse 23 of Romans 4. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. Look at verse 24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So what makes you to have righteousness? What makes you have righteousness imputed unto you? Look at verse 25. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our what? Justification. He was delivered for the offenses that we have made and we have committed. Why? So that we will be justified freely by faith. Look at the next chapter, chapter 1, 5, verse 1. He now says, can you start the statement with therefore? People of God, can you start the statement with therefore? Eh? Do you wake up and just say therefore? Just wake up and just go to the kitchen. Therefore, I'm going out. Does it make any sense? Therefore, mommy, I'm going out. No, you cannot therefore and be going out. There must have been a conversation before therefore. Check why the therefore is therefore. Hey, world. Yeah? So, therefore is that you must have read chapter 4 into verse 24, 23, 25 and now going to Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How are you justified? By faith. By faith in that redemptive work. Abraham heard the gospel and he believed the gospel. Yeah, remember we've explained what that seed is. That seed that Abraham said, that God said, that so shall your seed be. Who is the seed? How do we know? Romans chapter what? 4 verse 1? Or Galatians 3, I think. Galatians 3:16. Even as Abraham believed God. Where did Abraham believe God? Look at, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not unto, look at carefully, he said not unto who? Seeds as of many, but as of one. Now, Paul is saying, in case you don't see that seed that Abraham said, God said, Abraham, go out and count the stars, so shall your seed be. Paul is saying, in case you thought it was seeds as of many, no. Paul, Jesus, God was telling him a message of a seed as of one. In case you don't still see that you don't still see that seed is seed as of one, not seed as of many. He says, and that seed which is who? Christ. So when the Bible says, Abraham, go out and count the stars, was he saying count the stars so you have plenty of children? No. There was a message of the gospel preached. So, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. Christ is that seed that God promised Abraham that his seed shall be like. Not Isaac. The seed is Christ. Hallelujah. So, Abraham heard that and he believed it and was accounted unto him for what? Righteousness. The seed is Christ. It was about the redemptive work that Christ, the seed of God, will do. And he that believes in that will be justified freely. That's what Abraham believed in, and it was accounted unto him as what? Righteousness. Glory to God. Go back to Romans chapter 4. Go to Romans 5, 17. Romans 5, verse 17. Look at what Romans 5 verse 17 says. It says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more then which receive abundance of grace and all the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Who is the offense of that one? Who is that one that had an offense? Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, who is that righteousness of one? Christ, that is the seed. The free gift came upon all men unto justification to life. Abraham set a pattern. You know, we're going to deal with Romans very soon. You know, Bible says, because Adam sinned, all men became sinners. No, that's not true. Who is a sinner? A sinner is a person that commits an action. You are not a sinner until you commit an action. Are we together? So, a sinner is someone that commits an action. So, Adam set a pattern for sin that men followed. The moment you say that Adam's sin made every other person that came after him a sinner, it will mean that Jesus, by dying, everybody that came after Jesus will be what? Righteous. That's what you call universalism doctrine. That means everybody will be saved without believing in gospel. Think about it. Adam's sin did not make every other person a sinner. When Hebrews wrote about Abel, what did he say? Abel by faith believed God. That means Abel was not a sinner. Amen. So you are not a sinner because of Adam's sin. Adam's sin set a pattern for sin in lifetime. So the same way Jesus' resurrection and death set a pattern of righteousness for men. You have an ability to walk in that. Look at verse 18. Therefore, by the offense of one, look at verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Can you see that? I just explained that. Adam's disobedience did not make everybody sinners. Rather, Adam's disobedience set a pattern for sin for others to follow. We'll look at that properly soon. So, by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. The moment you cannot say that everybody is saved because Jesus died, you cannot also say that everybody is a sinner because Adam sinned. One man's sin doesn't affect the next man's sin. Are we together? But there's a nature that Adam put in play, which is what you call the similarity. Look at verse 20. Moreover, the law entered thou by the offense. Look at it though. The law entered. That means sin was reigning after Adam's time, but there was no law. So look at what it says. The law entered that the offense might what? Law entered that the offense might what? Law entered that the offense might what? That means where the law entered, offense became more. Is that true? Yeah. But was there offense before the law came? Yes. But it became more conspicuous when the law came. Because there were so many thou shall not, you know, because of the law. He now says, but where sin abounds, glory to God, where sin abounds. What does he say? Grace did much more abound. Whenever there is sin, there is so much. You see, that word there, that exceeding joy, exceeding what? Grace abounding. For every 5 liters of sin, there is a super abounding of grace. Glory to God. Where sin abound, grace did much more abound. Grace did much more abound. Look at verse 21. This is not saying you should go and sin because there is much more grace abound. No. Hallelujah. How can you say because you want people to know you know how to sweep, go and buy a bag of business, come and spread it on the rug? Just because I have power to sweep. Or just because you have a tank full of soap, you go and bring mud with sand and mix it, come and pour it on the rug. They say, I have soap. And you'll be washing, you'll be dancing, you'll be singing. So when he says sin abounds, so where sin abounds, is there much more grace? Yes. Look at what he now says. That means the question, look at it. That as sin had reigned unto death, even so my grace reigned through righteousness unto what? Eternal life by Christ Jesus. The next chapter now says something. What shall we say then? Can you see? Don't go to Romans 6 and start from Romans 6. You will get confused. Start reading from Romans chapter 1. What shall we say then? Questions. Or for this question to be in existence, it means that Paul preached a message that almost looked like, the more you sin, the more there's more grace. For this question to be valid, and Paul is addressing it, it means that the way Paul preached eternal life, why do you think the apostles they wanted to kill the apostles? Because what they were teaching was what? Above, it was more. It was almost a news that was almost too good to be true. So Paul must have thought that the more you sin, the more grace. But that's not what he thought, but that's what they must have interpreted from what he said. You know, so what shall we say then? How can we continue in sin that grace might abound? Is that not logical? Somebody has already told you that when you sin, there's more grace. It's not logical to say, so are you saying we should keep sinning so that more grace will abound? He now says verse 2, no, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer daring in sin? Verse 3, he says, know ye not that as so many of us as were baptized into the name of Jesus were baptized into his death? Look at verse 4. He now says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as of Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? The newness of life. Christ has died. You died with Christ. Now there's a life in you. You should walk in the newness of that life. Let's say I walk in the newness of the life that is in me. Now, let's round up here. Four key points I wanted to take up from this message. Four key points. Number one, the believer is declared righteous by faith and faith alone. The believer is declared righteous by faith and faith alone. Romans 5 verse 1. The believer is declared righteous by faith and faith alone. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. The believer is declared righteous by faith and faith alone. Romans 5 verse 1. Righteousness is a free gift, something not to be worked for. Romans 5 verse 17. Righteousness is a free gift, something not to be worked for. Romans chapter 5 verse 17. Righteousness is a free gift, something not to be worked for. Romans 5:17. First one is the believer is declared righteous by faith. Romans 5 verse 1. Second one is righteousness is a free gift. It is something not to be worked for. Number three, Jesus is the believer's righteousness before God. Jesus is the believer's righteousness before God. God has chosen to look at Jesus in looking at us. Romans chapter 3 verse 24 and 26. 24 to 26. Who God sees is his righteousness, the righteous act of God, Christ. Number three is Jesus is the believer's righteousness before God. Jesus is the believer's righteousness. It is through Jesus that the believer has a right standing with God. Through Jesus. Through Jesus. Jesus is the believer's righteousness before God. God has chosen to look at Jesus in looking at us. So when God wants to look at you, he looks at Christ. He looks at the work of Christ, the redemptive work of Christ that has imputed righteousness unto you. The believer is declared righteous, number one, by faith, Romans 5 verse 1. Number two, righteousness is a free gift, something not to be worked for, Romans 5 verse 17. Number three, Jesus is the believer's righteousness before God. God has chosen to look at Jesus in looking at us, Romans 3 verse 24 to 26. Number four, we have been made righteous, not just declared righteous. Yeah, but we are not just declared righteous, we have been made righteous. Abraham was declared righteous by faith. Now we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Look at Ephesians 4 verse 24, finally. Ephesians 4 verse 24. Abraham was declared righteous by faith. We are now by faith the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Lift your hand and say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Look at, he says, and that ye put on the new man. You see that new man? The new man which after God is created in righteousness. And that new man, say, I'm that new man. Created in righteousness and true holiness. You know, so when you say that Bible verse, we continue maybe there next week. When it says, follow peace with all men, without which no man shall see holiness. I mean, follow peace with all men, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see God. You know, it's not saying that if you don't live holy life, I will explain that maybe next week. We have put on Christ. We're expected. Bible says, faith without works is dead. What is faith without works? It means that you can't say you are a believer and not live a life worthy of what? The fact that you are a believer. Faith without works is not saying when you are going to apply for a job, go and pray in the church. No. It's not saying that if you have faith and you don't work, you will not get the job or you will not pass it. No. Paul was, James was teaching about what? Love work amongst people. So, why are you to live a holy life? Because God calls you holy. You've been declared righteous by God's true holiness in Christ Jesus. God does not have ex-children. How many of you can undo your DNA? If your father gives birth to you, no matter whoever takes you or adopts you, your father is still your father. Yeah? That means you cannot do anything about your DNA. Why do you think you can do something about God's eternal life? Hallelujah. You see, there's nothing like ex-children with God. There's nobody on earth that was once God's child. Nobody on earth. I'm saying that once a man believes in the gospel, he's saved forever. That's what I said. That's what scripture says. A man that has faith in Christ is saved forever. Now, if there is nothing you can do that work of redemption, that righteousness that has been imputed unto you by faith, there is nothing. See, look at it. Christianity is like this. Can you go to the 10th floor? I want to jump down. And as you're about jumping down, midway, you now say, I changed my mind though. You've left the 10th floor. Where you are now arriving? I changed my mind! You see, it doesn't make sense. That's what Christianity is. You can't change your mind only in the sky. We don't want to change your mind in reference to eternal life. No. The moment you are saved, the work of keeping your salvation has left your pedigree. It has left your work. You can't keep your salvation. Bible says, Jude 24, it says, now to him who is able to keep us from falling. Only God can keep us from falling. He says that no one can pluck them away from my hands. Once you are in Christ, you are in Christ forever.
You are righteous forever. There is nothing you can do to undo that. There is nothing. You are too small. 5 billion of you are too small to undo the work of righteousness. It caused God to become a man to get you saved. You are too small. God became a man to get you saved. You don't think you can undo that work that preceded you? That was a promise before Adam came? You still say, I'm righteous. I'm righteous forever. I'm righteous. I'm righteous forever. So why do you live a righteous life? Because what? You are righteous. Why do you stop doing certain things? Because God calls you holy. Hallelujah. You see something? I said, whatever is available upon salvation is eternally available. Whatever you receive upon salvation is eternally available to you. So once you receive eternal life upon salvation, you have that forever. The gospel is about Christ came to die and he was buried and he rose again. And whosoever believes in that is saved forever. Finally, 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17. This finally is the final. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17. Just turn there quickly. Whoever that is with Christ and has believed the gospel is joined as one with Christ. What does it say? Look at it. Let's read together. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17. 1, 2, 3, go. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. You know, I was talking with someone yesterday, and he said something. He said he realized that recently, when he started listening to the right messages, the things he was struggling with, he stopped struggling with them. Why? Righteousness consciousness. Look at your neighbor and say, be righteous conscious. Have a consciousness of righteousness. That is your mindset. You should always see. And he told me an example I usually give. He said that if you are wearing white and your car and something falls on and your biro cover falls into a gutter, you are wearing white going for a wedding, will you jump inside the gutter and pick your cover? Why? Because you are conscious of the white you are putting. Simple. Yeah? So why don't you do certain things? Because you are conscious of your righteousness. There's a gap. It says that he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. How can you join yourself? How can you be joined with God as one spirit and you want to now say, God, please separate yourself from me? Nothing you can do about that. Righteousness, consciousness is what that matters the most in the Christian faith. That's why, you know, there was someone corrected recently. With you, my life, you make my life feel brand new. No, Christianity is not a feeling-based religion. Christianity is a knowledge-based religion. So your righteousness, consciousness should have a sense of knowledge, a knowing, not a feeling. You can feel your life is brand new, but it's not really brand new. I feel like going out today doesn't mean I'm going to go out. What you say, with you, my life is brand new. Yeah? All your promises are yeah, they are amen in Christ. Your promises have been fulfilled in Christ. Lift your hand and say, I'm one spirit with God. I'm one spirit with God. I'm joined with God forever. Pray in the Holy Ghost for a few more minutes.